You're welcome back to part three of Religion Matters, KFM's weekly religion reflection and social issues programme. I hope you're enjoying the show. Do spread the word that we are here on a Sunday morning. It's not a bad way to wake up on Sunday. My next guest this morning is a Columban priest and is well-known commentator on ecology and environmental issues. Good morning, Father Sean McDonough.
And good morning to you.
Thank you very much for joining us.
Not at all, and to your, all your listeners, blessings on them this Sunday morning.
Now, you, Father Sean, you have a new book out. Congratulations on that. Tell me a little bit about the book.
Well, the book is on, we pronounce it Fukushima, but by my colleagues from Japan tell me it's Fukushima, the reactor there in Japan that exploded just in March of 2011. And so it's basically wondering, is nuclear power... Will Fukushima, particularly what happened, and the new costs that'll be that that nuclear power will cost, will that be the end of nuclear power around the world? Now, I'd like to put it in context, though. I've been writing on ecological issues since 1978. So, I mean, for example, when I went to work among a tribal group, I saw that the main problem was the destruction of their forests. So I spent almost 14 years with them there, trying to stop the forest being destroyed, and also then... also involved in reforestation. So over the years, I've looked at many ecological issues. For example, I wrote a book, The Greening of the Church, hoping that the church people, in the Catholic Church particularly, would begin to take more seriously this whole ecological issue, seeing that we believe that this wonderful creation of ours, the universe, is created by God, and God is continually creating the universe. We also believe that God became part of the universe in the incarnation, and we actually believe that the most intimate way we experience the divine is not in fine thoughts, but actually in bread and wine, in water and baptism, in oils, in the other sacraments. So we should be actually in the forefront. And over the years, I've written books on water, dying for water. I wrote a book 6 years ago about this whole issue, this extraordinary, awful issue of extinction. We're living in the sixth largest extinction of species since life began 3.8 billion years ago. And Catholics say of themselves, we're pro-life. But in actual fact, our church is not pro-life. It is anti-human abortion, which is very good. But if we were pro-life, we would be giving a huge lead on this whole issue of extinction. It's the fastest and probably the greatest percentage of extinction that's ever happened. As I say, it's the sixth largest. The last time it happened was the end of the dinosaurs. That time it was something from outer space, in a sense. It was a meteor that hit the planet. This time it's us, Homo sapiens. We call ourselves Homo sapiens. I also then wrote a book on climate change, because I think climate change is probably the most severe issue that has ever faced the human community. And again, to try to get religious people focused on that and to begin to do things, not just begin to think about it, because we are laying down a very difficult future for our grandsons and grandnephews and future generations. So this was in line with that, looking at, because people have often said, well, nuclear power is the answer to energy needs, and I argue in this, of course, it's not.
And why, in particular, did you decide to look at Fukushima? I mean, is it because we all should be very worried about the long-term consequences of what happened there?
Yes, but it's even more than that. First of all, it's very expensive science. Secondly, one of the things I point out, and this is true not just in Fukushima, it is true right across with our neighbours, we still don't know what happened in Windscale in 1957. Much of that is still controlled by secret papers in the British cabinet. So almost everywhere, civilian nuclear power has been under a cloud of secrecy. And of course, when you have that, you have all kinds of difficulties arising. The other thing, of course, I make very clear is initially civilian nuclear power and the use of nuclear weapons were, you know, they're Siamese twins, and I would still say they're Siamese twins. So, you know, we find all this furore about Iran getting nuclear weapons, but the reality is Pakistan has them, India has them, and I do see them, both of them connected. Then I do see the long term. Nuclear power is with us. Fission is with us since the 1950s. We still don't know what to do with uranium. And uranium will be problematic in terms of cancer causing and lethal for anything up to 200,000 years. That's longer than our species would, the final evolution probably was about 180,000 years ago. So that just shows you, you know, it's the kind of, I often use it, it's the kind of technology that original sin, no matter, you know, if we're good, the best people in the world, bad things happen. And I think that nuclear power, as we saw in Fukushima, after Chernobyl, they were saying, well, that would only happen in a country with the Soviet Union, all kinds of control. Japan is the second most technologically advanced country in the world. I lay out what happened on the night of the explosion and the tsunami, and it was bedlam. Now, if you have this particular kind of technology all over the world where you don't have well-trained people, but even in Japan, they weren't well-trained people. They were cutting corners all the time. So it kind of takes the lid off the nuclear industry, and not just in Japan, also in Britain, the United States, and just about every, and of course South Korea. Anywhere nuclear power, it comes in under a huge cloak of secrecy. And for that reason, I think we need to shine a penetrating light on it. Now, why I say, for example, what happened in Fukushima is that the fissile material went through the three reactors. So that means from now on, if you're going to take that on board, it's going to at least add another billion to the cost of a nuclear power plant, which is up to $6 billion. So the next thing that Fukushima tells us is geology. You know, they weren't expecting that level of a tsunami, even though they should be. We might have said, well, down in Carnosaur, if we had built one in Ireland, we'd never have to worry about that. Absolutely untrue. After the earthquake in Lisbon in 1755, actually a tsunami came right off the Atlantic and hit the Irish coast. So if the Grand Canary collapsed tomorrow or 100,000 years from now, we'd have the same reason. And thirdly, linked to climate change, we are now becoming aware, particularly in the last week, the horrible, worst news we could have ever expected, that for this time, for the first time in 11,000 years, since the end of the Ice Age, there was only 24% of sea ice left in the Arctic at the end of the icing period. Now, that is probably the worst possible news we could expect. At the same time, there's huge amounts of melting in Greenland and also in the western area of the Antarctic. So we could be talking about average sea rise by well more than a meter, which is what was projected with the data we had 5 years ago. So this is an extraordinary. So most of your nuclear power plants are along the ocean level. So if the ocean levels rise by 2 or 3 metres, all of them will be in trouble.
Now, how is the church, how can the church, and importantly individual Catholics, how can we respond better to matters to do with environment, climate change and ecology? Are we aware enough? Are we doing enough?
Oh, not at all. No way. Unfortunately, as I don't say, we should be, given that our beliefs. For example, probably the most important piece of information in this year came 4 or 5 days ago, when it was released that the Arctic is down to 24%, and the impact on this on Europe and world climate is and will be horrendous. And yet, you hardly heard a mention of it from the political world, from the economic world, or from the religious world. You couldn't expect a worse piece of news. And you see, fundamentally, even, say, at this year is 24%, the carbon we have already put up into the atmosphere will mean probably the next 2 years it will be down to 18%. So we've already set in train. Even if we stop emitting carbon now into the atmosphere, there would be a huge price to pay. And we see it. We have it in extreme weather events. Even though now, to this point, we only are about 1 degree Celsius above what we were in the 19th century. So, but we're not looking at that. And we're not looking, I've followed the United Nations conferences on climate change around November every year for the last 7 or 8 years. They're kind of going nowhere. We have billions to bail out our banks. And we haven't the slightest bit of interest in doing something that will mean so much for people living today and into the future, because the projections used to be all towards the end of the century. Like in 2007, when the last report came out from the Intergovernmental Panel on Climate Change, they were saying sea ice in the Arctic would be gone by 2050. Now they're talking about 2020.
That's scary.
It's rapidly happening. We need really good leadership. We don't have it. Look at the United States election. It's not an issue. You know, they're talking about all kinds of nonsense. And yet this, for the extraordinary drought they had there in the breadbasket this year, is probably a direct result of climate change. And you could see a complete change of environment in North America, that breadbasket being turned into desert within 20, 30 years. And we're talking about, you know, other extraneous issues that have very little, will have very little impact on the future. And the same is true, for example, of the church. Like, I'm a bit disappointed, very disappointed, actually, that the document which has been prepared for this synod on the new evangelization, which was released there recently, there's very little on the environment. Like, the reality is, what Vatican II asked us to do is said, look at the sign of the times. What's the world telling us? What's it telling socially, politically, now, ecologically? Because the function of the church is not to look after itself. It's to actually, for the life of the world, as we see in John's Gospel. Now, if the life of the world has been impacted in the way it is by the destruction of species and by runaway climate change, that should be top of our list. And it's not. We put it in, maybe, with unemployment and inflation. It's completely outside of that. It is the one thing that we should be totally focused on. And if we're not, as we aren't at the moment, then there'll be a huge price to pay for literally billions of people, not millions. So I'd love to see more clear leadership from the church, but also from governments. And unfortunately, we're not seeing, like in our own government here, they're taking away many of the incentives that there were here in the last government for people for insulating their houses.
Yeah. So little things, all these little things kind of add up. We have to leave it there this morning. Thanks for joining us and best of luck with the new book.
Okay, thank you very much.
Thank you very much. That was Father Sean McDonough, some serious food for thought there this morning. And that book is called Fukushima, The Death Knell for Nuclear Energy. It's published by Columba Press. It's time for some more music and this is Oh Happy Day.